Greetings, Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, if you believe such a thing.
Oh, my stars.
I know.
Oh, my stars and garters. Neil Miller is back on the show.
Yes.
What happened?
What?
What happened?
I don't know. I can't remember anything since the last time I was on the show. I have no recollection of my life at all.
Do you remember what the last episode you did of Fat Guys in the Movies
was? I couldn't say. It was the 200th episode, right?
It was the 200th episode.
Okay. Yeah, that's when I blacked out.
Yeah. And only the awesomeness of Michael Bay.
Right.
Brought
well,
you back.
I had to come back for Transformers 3. It was a rule. I guess it's one of those things that you go and you find a cave in France that has been unseen by the eyes of humans for hundreds of years.
They have caves in France.
And you go and you see, and it's like written on the wall, like, Neil will be back for Transformers 3.
we did the first Transformers episode way, way back 4 years ago.
That's true. This is one of the franchises that Fat Guys the Movies has been diligently covering.
Yeah, we covered. It was one of the first movies that we covered, and we have that. And then I can't remember whether we did the second movie or not.
Revenge of the Fallen. Of course we did.
I'm assuming we did because you were pretty regular at that time. You were taking your Fat Guys Metamucil,
right?
And you were definitely regularly on the show, but
right.
But
well,
anyways, we'll talk about.
It's good to be back.
Yes, it is. Good to have you back. It's sort of like old times. But before we talk a little bit about what you've been up to, let's talk about how to get a hold of the show. You can go to fatguysatthemovies.com and check us out. You can go to iTunes, search Fat Guys at the Movies, and we pop right up. Neil, you still pop up.
Yeah,
your face
I do.
Is still there. I'm still naked. You're not. Then you can go to Facebook.
I'm still glad about that.
Well, you're glad that I'm naked?
Well,
how
that
sweet.
I'm not.
Oh, okay. Facebook.com/FGATM for Fat Guys in the Movies. You can go to email. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or leave us a voicemail, 740-205-6456. We got a couple of those, and they're, of course, Michael Bay related.
Yeah, they are.
We also, all over your face, man. If we have our sponsor, hover.com/fatguys, you can get cheap URLs starting at 10% off. If you use the hover.com/fatguys, or if you just go to hover.com and you enter the coupon code FATGUYS as one word, and you'll get the same 10% off cheap URLs. All right, so what's been happening with you, Neil?
Nothing. As I said, I blacked out.
You blacked out. You had a lot to drink sometime in January.
Well, yeah. It's been busy, I guess. And I've been right, folks who are fans of me, all three of you. hi, Mom. You can...
hi, Neil Miller's mom.
Just about every night when I'm not totally indisposed, I guess, I write Movie News After Dark over at Film School Rejects. That's
kind of new. You do a good job.
A
you know what's funny? My wife reads, looks at your Movie News After Dark, and it was right before the rapture was supposed to happen.
Uh-huh.
And you phrased it like... And it comes in the Facebook feed, and it's like... This may be the last edition. And Carolyn's like, is he stopping to do it? I'm like, no, he's just hedging his bets in case the rapture.
Right, because I was pretty sure the rapture was going to happen at that point. I mean, I basically sold all my belongings. Film School Rejects is now owned by this hobo who sits outside here in Austin. He gave me like $3 for it in
he's
quarters.
He's probably really wealthy, though.
Yeah,
he's
a hobo that makes $100,000 a year. So I sold Film School Rejects to him for like $3. And I was like, well, because I don't need it anymore because the world's going to end and the internet's not going to be around anymore. So there was that.
I was in a movie marathon when the rapture was supposed to happen, and I was with my oldest son. And I there was that part of me that's like, we're going to walk outside, and it's like everyone's going to be gone.
Right.
It's just everybody, the movie theater was all wicked.
Well, and it's so funny, too, that like it might have happened.
Yeah, it's just that was my theory, is that just nobody was worth it. And boop. And like some one guy in Bangladesh gets
right. One monk in a monastery. He was like, oh, well, that's the guy. Yeah. He's the one who gets to be saved.
My theory is that you didn't black out. It's that you were texting at the Alamo Drafthouse and you've been in movie theater jail.
Yeah. You saw that, did you?
Five or 6 months.
God, that is crazy. I know. Alamo Draft House is hilarious. I don't go there quite as much as I used to when I first moved to Austin, because the novelty eventually wears off, and you realize that if you go to another theater in Austin, you can actually get tickets. So, because the Draft House is always sold out.
Oh, yeah.
So, and also you're less fat if you don't go to the Draft House and eat. So,
how's that working out for you?
I mean, I think I've lost like 15 pounds since last year.
I remember when you moved to Austin, your whole thing was every time I looked at you on Twitter or Facebook, you're like, I'm eating out here. I'm having barbecue. I'm drinking beer.
Right.
And then I saw you and I'm like, dude, you're as big as I am. And you're like, it's
the it's the barbecue and the beer. So I think I've successfully navigated to the point where, you know, once a week is okay. But
yeah,
beyond that, you need to eat salad and protein shakes. I just had a delicious protein shake.
Oh, that's awesome.
You should know. I feel like everyone should know that. All the listeners. Are we still on in Cheyenne, Wyoming?
We are still on in Cheyenne, Wyoming, which is amazing because we've had some crazy stuff happening the last couple of weeks.
I bet. You never know what you're going to get with guest hosts.
Oh, we have had some doozies. Let's just say that.
So we still can't swear.
No, you can in the middle segment or the third segment, but that'll be later. But beforehand, should we talk about movies let's talk about a movie we haven't seen yet, because we're doing this early so we can ride the Michael Bay wave of awesome.
Oh boy.
Is that a way to say it?
I guess that's how it goes.
This first one we're going to talk about is Larry Crown. Tom Hanks directs Tom Hanks as a guy who loses his job at a Walmart-y place and has to go back to community college.
This sounds like you're firing me. They said it's because I didn't go to college.
Get you some knowledge and you'll be fireproof.
You're never too old to learn.
Excuse me, the state requires a minimum of 10 students, so this class is canceled. Thanks.
Is this speech 217? Hey,
in the Navy, I went around the world 5 times, but I would never be able to communicate it to you unless I had taken a class like this.
Did you see this?
No, but I think I lived this. I was once Tom Hanks and didn't have a job at a Walmart-y college and had a Walmart-y place. And
tucked your polo shirt in your pants and all that good stuff.
Yeah. This is messed up. Although, when I went to community college, none of my teachers looked like Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
Hot version or otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah. When I went to regular college, none of the teachers looked like that.
What's up with that? What's up with that, community colleges around the world? Yeah. Why can't teachers look like Julia Roberts? Because I will say this about Julia Roberts. She's still attractive at age, what is she, like 75 now?
Something like that. Although her face is getting, her mouth is getting bigger. I think it's just going to like swallow her head backwards eventually. her smile will get so huge. And apparently she doesn't shave her armpits. Mm. That has nothing to do with Thomas or Larry Crown. I keep saying Thomas Crown. That's what
it feels like Thomas Crown, but I don't think any paintings get stolen.
No.
Also, Pierce Brosnan's chest hair is not present in this movie.
No, well, it might be. It just may be dusting around. They may have used it to color Tom Hanks's hair.
That's possible.
He's like 75 years old, too. I don't know. I was mildly interested in seeing this until I saw that Tom Hanks directed it and Nia Vardalos helped write it. And then I'm like, oh. I have no idea.
I think, you know, I might go see it. I don't know. I still, you know, we're recording early this week, and I still have a screening that I can go to. Yeah. Assuming I get all my other stuff written. I might go.
I may go see it. I am going to see it, and I'll be seeing it probably in about 5 hours. So you'll have to check the site for a review. Anyways, yeah. We better go to a break. It gets it gets nothing because
it gets a confused look.
Yes.
And we have returned here on Fat Guys of the Movies.
We didn't go
anywhere. well, not really. I mean, we might have, but there's no way for you to know that. Anyway, we're going to be talking about another movie, I guess.
Yeah.
We should continue talking about movies. This is the one that you've been waiting for.
Yes.
Pretty much all summer. I'm sure that every single listener of Fat Guys of the Movies, that's still the show we're on here.
That is what we are on.
Has been waiting to hear what we have to say about the latest Michael Bay joint.
The Zookeeper with Kevin James.
It is Transformers, Dark of the Moon.
No, it's Transformers Turn Off the Dark of the Moon.
No, it's not. They didn't. They. It's just darker than
there
movie.
Was not a musical Spider-Man. Let's
not
around.
We're not going to associate it with the musical Spider-Man thing because that's bad news. Anyway, this movie includes big robots, kablam, blowing up things, kablam, kabroom, kasploosh.
It was supposed to be. I had no way of writing that in the show notes.
And no Megan Fox. Awesome.
Our entire space race of the 1960s was in response to an event.
If you breathe a word of what you've seen here, we'll do time for treason.
Everything humans know of our planet, we were told, had been shared. You lied to us. You've made a grave mistake.
All right, now everybody who listens to
there was
show,
definitely a lack of Megan Fox.
They know. Oh, didn't she play that one of those robots that wasn't voiced by Steve Buscemi? Isn't that Megan Fox with the hair and everything?
Was there a Steve Buscemi bot?
Wasn't the little bots in the house? That was his little pets. Wasn't that Steve Buscemi? It sounded like, it either sounded like Steve Buscemi or somebody doing their version of Steve Buscemi.
I think it was a version of Steve Buscemi.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
Anyways, anyone who listens to the show knows you're a big, huge Michael Bay fan.
I'm a fan of, yes. Yes, Michael Bay.
How were you going to try and mediate that? You're like, well, I'm gonna, no, you're a total Michael Bay
fan. Well, you know, and I think it's some people have misinterpreted it as like this unapologetic fandom of Michael Bay. I think everything he does is great. No, I mean, I
that's Meryl Barr.
Right, and I don't wear rosy-colored glasses when I go to see his movies. His films sometimes have problems, and there's some consistent problems across all of his films. Yeah. You know, he is style over substance. He is spectacle over story. He's everything that people say he is, but that's, to me, what kind of makes him awesome. He makes the movies that he wants to make. He makes movies that look cool, and he makes movies that blow stuff up, and his movies are so technically precise that it's hard to walk away from it and go, I'm not impressed. You know, how do you walk away from a movie like Transformers, the first one, and go, well, there was nothing really impressive in that movie. No. Those robots are awesome, you know? They're just the first scene. I watched all three this week in preparation for, well, I watched the first two
in preparation
for the third one.
For this show.
And, you know, it's hard to watch the first Transformer sequence with the helicopter and the airbase and not go, that's really cool.
Yeah.
You know, who's watching that and going, oh, no, that's stupid. Michael Bay, clearly, he's just ignoring all the character development that he needs for that giant alien robot who turns into who transforms out of a helicopter and blows things up.
Well, here's the thing, you know? Also with I don't disagree with anything you say on this. And ultimately, where your complaints are going to land for Michael Bay are not going to be in the action sequences most of the time. I mean, yes, you can complain about that final action sequence in Transformers 1 that kind of happened partly off screen. It was maybe a style choice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, giant dangling balls during the final sequence of Transformers 2.
It's funny.
I mean, there's things you can poke for, but the problems that he has don't show up really in the action sequences. It's all the stuff in between.
It is. And here's why. Here's, I think, how Michael Bay has made the Transformers movies. Not all of his films are made this way. Some of them came from original scripts and things like that. Mm. What he has done, really,
I'm not mistaken, most of them are original scripts, aside from, I mean...
Well, most of them are from actual screenwriters.
Yeah, they're
and
not
I think
from,
what happened...
They're not added. I mean, except for... Unless you talk about, like, Pearl Harbor being that he was doing that historical thing... Everything's just an original new story,
right.
Except for maybe
what's interesting is no one ever gives him credit for trying to make original movie. Like even The Island. The Island is not a great movie, but it is his most ambitious, intellectually ambitious movie. Like he tries to tell this interesting story about clones and whatnot. But anyway, let's skip
The Island on that one.
Here's how I think the last two Transformers movies were written, and if I could almost probably prove this from interview segments. Mm-hmm. Is that Michael Bay created a general outline of how the movie's going to go. Yeah. We're going to go here, we're going to go here, we're going to go here. And he had all his action beats laid out. And then he looked to his screenwriters and he said, okay, fill in the blanks.
Like Transformers 2, he's like, I want to have a big action fight on the pyramids.
Exactly.
Work that
in this one, he's like, well, I want to blow up all of Chicago and have this wingsuit thing that I saw in 60 Minutes, and that's awesome. Yeah. So fill out the rest of the story and make it 2.5 hours long.
Which, incidentally, is how they did the Pirates movies. Not the one that's out now, but like part 2 and part 3 of the Pirate movies. Mm-hmm. They shot those without scripts. They were just worked it around action sequences.
Right. So, and you know what? I guess it works for them because... So, and I feel like, you know, you have someone like Aaron Kruger, who's the screenwriter on 3, you can tell what he contributed to the, you can just feel that some of the worst parts of number 2 were the ones he contributed, like the little racist bots and stuff like that. Because there's still little hints of that in 3,
yeah.
But it's not quite as overt, and it's not quite as annoying. And the humor, the stupid humor is there, and it feels like it's filling space, because it is filling space. It's getting you to the action sequence, you know? And
well, you know what? I don't mind. Here's the thing. I don't mind the stupid humor. The stupid humor, for the most part, in Transformers 3, I didn't mind it at all, because you have to remember it comes from a cartoon. You know, the wise-talking little robots, and they're goofy and silly, but they're, you know, it comes from a cartoon. So I don't blame that. I don't have a problem with. And in fact, like Sam Witwicky's parents, I thought were kind of funny in this one. What happened with the second movie, and at least I saw, is that they just took some things too far. The mom eating pot brownies in a movie that's based on a Hasbro toy that's obviously geared towards 10-year-olds. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that may not have been the wisest choice. The racist robot, that may not have been the wisest choice. And like I mentioned, the dangling balls at the end of Transformers 2, I'm just like, I don't, that's funny, but in the middle of a big action sequence is a little much. I think he cleaned all that up. He got silly and goofy.
He did. Totally did.
But it was more appropriate. In the, like Ken Jeong in Transformers 3 was hilarious.
He was funny. I mean, it was very Ken Jeong. I mean, that's just kind of every character he plays. Yeah. John Malkovich was a little crazy town as well in the movie. But I think what matters in a Transformers movie, and this is really my question for the audience, is what do you really want out of a Transformers movie?
Yeah.
Do you want Aaron Sorkin to come along and give you sharp-witted dialogue that is just this witty banter at all turns, and just do you want it to be this talking movie that makes you think, or do you want to see all of Chicago get decimated by giant alien robots?
Yeah,
you know, if you want that, if you want the, you know, the Sorkin version or the Soderbergh version, then you're never gonna get that.
You'll never get that.
This is not that kind of property. So you might as well accept that the one that Michael Bay is giving us is the Transformers movie the world really wants and really deserves. I mean, obviously, that's the success of the first two speaks to that. And he really does deliver the scale. And I think that's what matters. In the last 45 minutes of this movie, he delivers a battle that is as massive and expansive and as just eye-popping as we've ever seen in a live-action movie, especially in 3D. The 3D could be there, could not be there, but the fact that it is there and it's used correctly makes it even more impressive. So there's no way to walk away from Transformers 3 and go, oh, yeah, but the action felt small. Because it's huge.
No, the action's awesome.
And it's cool.
Well, and the thing is...
And that's really what we want out of a Transformers movie.
My biggest complaint about Transformers 3 is the first two-thirds of it gets a little long. From the point of where they're like gonna... From the point they go after Chicago and it's the last 45 minutes... I was sold 100%. It gets a little bit silly on certain things, but on the whole, that last, it's like Avatar, that last 45-minute giant action sequence, you can't complain about that, and nobody can. And the 3D...
And it makes it worth buying a ticket for.
And that's the thing. I mean, honestly, though, I think to a certain degree, you can go watch Transformers to about the Transformers 3 to about the 40-minute mark, go out and get a sandwich, go down and eat something, come back to the theater and catch the last 45. There's a whole big section in the middle that just gets nuts and silly. And he doesn't. And I actually went out and got refilled my popcorn because I was just like, I can't even. It's just getting ridiculous at this point. And then it got back to the action. I was just like, then it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like you said, you can expect that from a Michael Bay movie. And I think the only movies that he really hasn't done that, I think the first Bad Boys and The Rock and Armageddon avoided that simply because he had something to prove as a younger, newer director. And it was completely unleashed in Transformers 2.
Right.
And he could have reined it in more in this one. Actually, you know what? We got to go to a break. Let's continue talking at the other side.
Sure, why not?
Hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We're in the middle segment. Now you can swear, Neil.
Not yeah, sure. Fucking A, man.
We'll finish up talking about Transformers 3. On the whole, I liked Transformers 3. My biggest complaint, and here's the thing, this is not a complaint that's unique to Michael Bay or unique to Transformers. This movie, it's too long. They really could have edited. So there's parts where I'm like, they probably could have taken that scene out. And then there are mm-hmm. other parts. The editing's a little bit goofy because some parts go on too long, especially in the middle. And then some parts are very abrupt. But on the whole, I thought it was okay. I mean, there's nothing in this movie that's worse than they did in the second.
Right, and I think it dials the pacing back. Yeah. Because if there was one thing I noticed watching all three in one day, it was that the first one is incredibly well paced. Like it just flies, and you don't even notice it's a 2.5 hour movie. And I think the second one, you feel the weight of the runtime. It feels really long. And the third one, it doesn't feel quite as long, even though it's probably.
It's longer. Almost, it's the longest of the three.
Yeah, it doesn't quite feel as long as the second one, but it still doesn't have that kind of blistering narrative pace that the first one had. No. So I think it kind of dials that back a little bit, and works pretty well.
I think. See, the thing is, this I thought the cast was better in this one. What's funny is Shia LaBeouf's character. He was kind of useless. He didn't really do anything. It's all this other shit happening around him, mm-hmm. and he's just there because, well, they need him in the movie because it's a Transformers movie. Because
they signed him for three movies. They might as well use him.
And he's in there. And the same goes for the not Megan Fox woman. I don't even know her name.
Rosie Huntington-Whiteley.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
I remember her name.
Yeah,
she's a sexy woman.
She is a sexy woman, and she's gorgeous. And she sounds way smarter than Megan Fox, and that's just because she's got a British accent. And I didn't have a problem with her, but it's just, again, it's like that whole storyline, you could have completely taken out of the movie and just made it about, like, Josh. You could have made Josh Duhamel the lead of this movie.
Right.
And I think it would have been better, but again, I don't think there's nothing Bay could have done to avoid that because you've got to have Sam Witwicky in there.
Well, and I think, he just can't resist telling. If you notice, there's a theme through a lot of his movies where it's just like, he tells this love story, this one man, one woman love story inside of a much larger, epic. You know, basically, it's a one man, one woman love story that happens in the middle of a war between two civilizations and species and planets. Like that, it's that big of a story. And it's also just about this dude who wants to get his girlfriend back because she's really hot and British.
Yeah, and that's true. But, I mean, so ultimately, I thought it was great. The 3D is probably some of the best 3D I've seen since Avatar for 95% of the movie. And I don't know, did you notice this? There were, like, some shots that were alarmingly looked like shit with the 3D.
I can't say that I noticed any of them. Because really the stuff that, the one thing I liked about the 3D is I kind of forgot that it was there, and it really wasn't, like, it never really called attention to itself.
See, but I thought it did in a very good way, in the sense that Bay, he's such a visual director, he gives you the depth. And if you notice, when he'd add the 3D, a lot of times, like, there was one scene where they're on a rocket platform, and there's the rail. And he's got the camera really close to the rail, so the rail's there. And it's not a gimmicky shot, but it just adds a lot of depth to it. Mm-hmm. And 95% of those shots were brilliant and looked awesome. And then I think it was just the because they did a whole mix of stuff. They shot it in 3D, they did conversion, they did special effects, and all this kind of stuff for various things. And, you know, like, for example, there's a scene where, and I think this is, I think Michael Bay owns this clip. I think he just uses this for every movie he has where it's a panning across the Capitol. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and you could tell that was a conversion shot because I could, because I see him enough, and it's a stock footage, so they just converted it. And then there's like, but there's other scenes that just didn't look good. I just think that they were just that, and that's not a complaint necessarily. It's just the 3D is so good that when it didn't look great, it was really noticeable. Whereas if you throw it into like Thor or Green Lantern and you see a shitty 3D shot, you just be like, whatever.
Right.
Because those are just post-converted anyways.
Right. And, I think the visual effects in this movie really do kind of blow away everything we mm-hmm. saw in Green Lantern and everything we saw in Thor and everything we've seen pretty much throughout the entire summer so far. Yeah. You know, this is, you know, people talk about summer movie. I want to go see a really great summer movie that is impressive. This is the movie. You know, whether you think some of the other stuff is stupid or whether you think it's undercooked characters and things like that, it doesn't matter.
And you're right. It is.
And you're probably right.
Yeah.
But this is the impressive summer movie. You know, yeah. This is the one that you go out, you see in a theater because it's worth seeing in a theater, and you walk away from it talking about it. You know, very few movies so far this summer have been talked about so ferociously on Twitter and things like that. You know, it's the movie that you're going to want to talk about, and it's worth it because that's what Michael Bay wants. He wants to create this experience that you're going to be impressed and you're going to want to go talk about it. And
I don't know if it's a talk about movie, though. I think it's more talk about people will be like, it's awesome, and then somebody's like, yeah, but this was really stupid, and then you can get an argument over that.
Right.
That's the talking I'm seeing going on.
It's
not
an intellectually stimulating movie, but it's a movie that I think, you know,
but it's not like Tree of Life where people are like, let's examine what this means.
Right. It's going to define the summer, I think, is...
See, I don't know about that, because actually I think already we've had... there's been a lot of good stuff this summer.
There has been. It's been a really good summer.
And there's more stuff coming. You've got the last Harry Potter movie.
You have Captain America.
Cowboys and Aliens. Yep. There's still some big stuff. I think this is where... this is going to be a hurdle for this movie, because in 2009,
mm-hmm.
that was a weak summer.
Sure was.
There was like nothing before it. Before Transformers 2 and nothing after. Like, the biggest thing you had was Land of the Lost, and it flopped. And everything kind of got out of the way for Transformers 2, and that helped push its box office, whereas I think the next one after Transformers 2 was, like, Wanted. Was that 2008?
That was 2008. That was with The Dark Knight.
Yeah, but this summer, I think... It's a strong lineup this summer of movies that have the potential to be the big summer movie. So I'm curious to see how well Transformers 3 weathers through that,
mm-hmm.
which is not necessarily a reflection on the movie, but it's a reflection on people waiting for what's next.
But it is kind of the same equation, though. 2009, there was, you had another Harry Potter movie. Half-Blood Prince came out that year, you know, and you had The Hangover, and you had Up. And you had these movies, and Transformers is kind of right in the middle, you know?
Yeah.
And once again, it's kind of right in the middle. So until Harry Potter comes out in, 2 weeks?
3 weeks? The 15th.
Yeah, so in 2 weeks when Harry Potter comes out, you know, it's going to be a big... That'll be the big dent to Transformers. But, you know, I think people kind of cleared the way for Transformers because they knew this is a movie that kids want to go see. This is a movie that people are going to take their
families. I will say this. This plays so much better to a child audience.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think it's... I want to go see this one again.
Yeah.
Whereas the second one, I think I saw it twice in the theater. The first one I saw 7 times in the theater because I'm stupid. But the second one, I after the first time, I was like, all right, well, that's it. You know, this one, I'm like, there's some stuff in there I'd like to see again.
Yeah.
On the big screen. Not waiting until DVD.
So. I would say this would be interesting to see in IMAX.
Yeah.
It's almost overwhelming, actually. And I saw that when I saw Tron, the light cycle sequence in Tron is almost overwhelming in IMAX 3D because it's so big and so in your face. And in 3D, there's a lot of shit your brain has to process.
Yeah.
And I'd be curious to see if this would be... I mean, it's like almost you want to take a nap in Tron after the light cycle sequence because you just need to recover.
Right.
And I wouldn't be surprised if... But you don't get to that point of it being overwhelming until that ending, and then it's but and at that point it's just like nonstop for 40 minutes,
right? And it's exhausting. Yeah. So
yeah. Anyway, I'm going to give it. I don't know. I'm going to give it.
I have no idea.
Kind of rock. And the reason I'm saying kind of is just it's just too long. But it's still good. Worth checking out.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to give it kind of rocks as well because it's an impressive film. It has plenty of problems, but it's so worth seeing on the big screen that it makes up for all the things it does wrong.
It is one of those movies
in ways
that
the second one didn't.
Yeah, it is one of those movies that if you're going to go see it, just go see it in the theaters and go see it in 3D. It's one of those movies you're not going to hate yourself for paying the extra price.
Right.
Yeah.
Sweet. Is it time to do box office stuff?
Let's do box office. So do you think Larry Crown's going to win the box office?
Not at all.
Not at all. You think? Well, first let's talk about last weekend. Last weekend we had Cars with the actuals came out. It was $66 million for the weekend, which was better than Cars 1, but lower in attendance. I still think higher ticket prices are hurting 3D movies.
Mm-hmm. Although it'd be interesting to see how Transformers.
I'm real curious to see how well Transformers does. Is there anything else we got to say about the box office? Bad Teacher did okay.
Yeah, actually, Bad Teacher did better than they expected.
Yeah, even though I didn't like it, but nobody listens to me anyways.
Fair enough.
What do you think? What do you think is going to happen with the box office on Transformers?
What did the last one opened same time 2009, right?
All three have opened in the same window.
Basically in the July 4th weekend. Although last one opened the weekend before, it was like June 24th. Yeah. And it opened on a pre-holiday weekend to what was it? 108 million. So this is full holiday weekend. Wednesday through July 4th weekend.
Well, but and this is, I guess, the big question, because Hangover 2 saw this happen. If you took any of it was record breaking for that big weekend, but it was very front loaded. So a lot of people saw like Hangover 2 Thursday and Friday, mm-hmm. and then the it still had great numbers, but it missed having that Friday, Saturday, Sunday record.
Mm-hmm.
Because it opened on Thursday, and Transformers technically opened on Tuesday night because they're doing 8 and 9 o'clock showings.
Right, it's opening Tuesday night,
which is what they did in 2004, 2007 for the first one, and probably I think they did that same thing in 2009. First of all, do you think it's going to break records?
No, I wouldn't be surprised if it does very in the same neighborhood as the last one, maybe a little bit more, maybe $125 million
for like the
six day spread weekend. Not for the 6 day spread. It's okay. Just that opening.
The Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because that's what it did in its opening weekend in 2009. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I guess the other question is, do you think the 3D ticket price is going to hurt it?
No, I think it'll help it, because if there's anything the marketing is focused on, it's the fact that most critics are at least talking about the 3D. Even the ones that don't like the movie, they're saying, well, the 3D is impressive, because it is. So, and that's been a huge
focus of
the campaign.
But do you think that's enough for just your average person to go say, well, I'll spend an extra $5
on
that?
Yeah, because I think there's been an awareness now amongst consumers that there's something wrong with 3D. There's something wrong with the way Hollywood's been doing 3D lately. And there's starting to be this admission that, okay, well, post-conversion is bad. But now a lot of the focus on the Transformers marketing is like, this is the best 3D movie since Avatar.
Yeah.
So people are being, all right, well, now I'm going to give 3D a chance again. You know, if there's ever a time where 3D is going to help a movie, and it'll be interesting to see if it actually happens.
Yeah.
If there's ever a time where 3D ticket prices are going to help a movie again, it's going to be this one.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, it really could blow up.
My prediction is it's going to do the box office numbers are going to be very close to what the second one was were on a frame to frame comparison.
Mm-hmm.
But the attendance is going to be down, and I think a lot of that will be higher prices.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in a recession. I think that has to do with
right.
it. And I think it's going to play steady through the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got 2 weeks to do it, and then I think it's one of those. I don't know if it's going to get the repeat play. For some reason, the second one just got this repeat play. It made over $400 million, which not a whole lot of movies have done that.
Right.
And I don't know whether this one will. It might. It has a good shot at it.
I feel like it will. I feel like there's, you know, mm-hmm. Who knows if quality actually has anything to do with this, but I feel like it really does. It does have that replayability that the second one didn't seem to. So it won't be a surprise if it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's probably good if you're talking like, well, I guess Tuesday night, and then you got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then what is the 4th of July on Monday? When is the 4th mm-hmm. of July? 4th of July is on a Monday. So if you're talking, right. it's literally a 7-day window. Mm-hmm. it's a 7-day opening weekend, which makes right. no sense.
And but I wouldn't be surprised if it comes out of that, you know, if by the middle of next week, it's at $200 million.
I can see that happening.
Because that's kind of where the last one was. You know, when it came out of that holiday weekend, it was like $200 million. And it made 100 over the weekend.
I don't know if it's going to crack $200 million. I just don't think... I just don't see it doing that. But it might. It could. It's going to do very well.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely $150 million plus by the time it gets out of its opening, its 7-day opening weekend.
I guess we'll see.
Come next Tuesday morning.
Yay.
Anyways, and then Larry Crown's going to make like $20 million, and that's it.
Yeah, because Tom Hanks.
Because they'll be like, well, I'll go see them.
He's in that one, right? Yeah. Okay, good.
He and Julia Roberts. All right, let's move on. We got a listener voicemails here to talk about. The first one comes from our good friend Chris from Lansing. Let's go ahead and play it.
Frat guys at the movies. It's Chris from Lansing. So, I'm sending this message to you pretty early. It is the Saturday, the 25th, and so we got about 4 days till Transformers comes out. It's my question for you, because the early buzz on the film is that it's actually pretty solid. And my question for you guys is, and or girl, is what are some of the most notable turnarounds in a series, meaning where a sequel was awesome, but the movie that came before it was terrible, which is what I'm hearing about Transformers, that the second one sucked, third one's great. That's the early buzz on it. I could be totally wrong, but that's my question. What are some of your most notable turnarounds for a movie series? All right, keep up the great work. I'll see you guys later. Okay,
so there you go. What do you think? What are notable turnarounds for franchises?
Well, I think we were talking before the show about Fast Five. Fast Five is definitely one.
Yeah, it definitely breathed new life. Although Fast and Furious was a bump in the was a definite box office bump from Tokyo Drift.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'd say quality, but Fast Five was a better movie, and I think it.
Well, and I guess that's the bigger question: is it critical turnarounds or is it box office turnarounds? You know, because
Fast and Furious would have been,
you know,
a box office turnaround.
I guess this is a good week to talk about it, because if you look at Transformers, if you look at it from a financial standpoint, there's nothing wrong with the Transformers franchise.
No.
You know, the first one made $700 million worldwide. The second one made $840 million worldwide.
Yeah.
That seems to be going up. And then same thing with Fast and Furious, where they
made
a little bit more than the last one.
Speaking of, there's one more thing on the box office of Transformers. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to play like crazy overseas. This will break $1 billion worldwide.
Right.
And that's because 3D is playing better overseas. You're seeing what happened last year and last 18 months ago with domestic 3D. You're seeing that now overseas with people actually paying those prices.
Right.
So anyways, go back to what you were saying.
That's because they just got Avatar last week.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, so I don't. So it's kind of interesting. But notable turnarounds in franchise histories. You know, there's some really great comebacks. Rambo, mm-hmm. Rocky.
Yeah,
they came back very strong. But I don't think. We also talked about Harry Potter, where you have this kind of this ebb and flow of Harry Potter, where you know the first two were really magical at the time, but they're not that good anymore. The third one was really great. The fourth one, not so much. And then, like, 6 and 7 have been, well, I mean, 6 was great. And 7 looks like it's going to be incredible.
Yeah.
So, but it's hard. I mean, when you're doing 7 movies, some of them are going to be not that good. And some, well, I mean, they're all of a certain quality, but some are going to be better than others. And
well,
I don't think.
I think Harry Potter works because is probably a better example of that. Even though the first two got good reviews and did incredibly well, box office wise, you looked at and when they came out, you're like, oh, Chris Columbus did an okay job, and then you go back and you look at him, and you're just like, yeah, no, he didn't. These are terrible.
And it's a really tough question to answer because you have stuff like Batman, where, you know, Batman took a dive after two movies, but then, you know, 10 years later, they revive and it's a different franchise, so it's not. It's not really a turnaround as much as it's just starting over.
Well, and Batman Begins was good, not great, but it was a huge step up to The Dark Knight. That's not uncommon to see that first movie was okay, and the second movie's better. Spider-Man did that. X-Men did that. Star Wars kind of did that with Empire Strikes Back. But here's the thing. It's sort of like the essence of the question that Chris is asking with the, has there ever been a movie that's been terrible, and then the sequel's been awful? Well, generally, they don't make sequels to awful movies.
Right.
There's at least something successful about the first movie. It either has to have been loved by audiences or loved by critics.
Right. And there have been plenty of franchises that have just continued to get worse.
Oh, yeah.
Police you know, Academy, like Terminator. Leprechaun. Terminator went Terminator 1, Terminator 2, great. Terminator 3, not so great. Terminator 4, awful.
Yeah.
You know, Batman, the Tim Burton Batman franchise, the Burton Schumacher Batmans. Yeah. You know, they continue to get worse. Yeah. You know, Star Wars.
Alien.
There's another
Alien kind of went that way too, where you had, you know, first two Aliens were good, the third one was like, and then the fourth one was absolute poop.
You know what? Here to me, turnaround is like the franchise is on the verge of like causing
it's on the
apocalypse. You know, like if Episode 1 and Episode 2 came out and they were as bad as they are, and then Episode 3 were just mind-blowingly good. Just like, just made you forget about every other Star Wars movie. Just that good that it just blew everything out of the water. That would have been a great turnaround, but it wasn't. I mean,
that's an extreme.
It was pretty much on par with the.
But you could talk about X-Men movies, whereas the first two were really good. The third one, while I thought it was okay, I just rewatched it this weekend. I'm like, I still like it, but it's. I recognize there's some plot problems. I think more people have problems with X-Men 3, who know the true history and the story behind like Dark Phoenix and that sort of thing, but. I will concede that X-Men 3 was a step down, and then you had Wolverine, which was down there, and then First Class, really,
right?
That does give a swing.
But it still
up.
Feels like almost a completely different franchise, even though there's a certain amount of continuity to it. It still feels like
Blue Lady.
In order to have a turnaround in a franchise, you have to reinvent the franchise.
Yeah,
you know that's pretty much so. You know all the ones that reinvented. Although Fast and Furious, I think, is probably one of the only really great.
Well,
like Fast Five really kind of blew people away, and
it did reinvent it because
I forgot these movies were good.
Well, the first one was what it was, and then the second one kind of wasn't as good, and then the third one was in friggin' Tokyo. What the and with nobody except for one guy who gets killed in it. That was from any of the other movies, and then they're like, "Well, shit, let's go back to what worked," and then they started it again, and I think that's what helped. They went back to what works, and I guess that's the thing: go back to what works, not what your focus groups are saying. Don't ask people, what did you like about movies? Like if you look at like the second Jurassic Park, I remember one of the things that Spielberg tried to do, he's just like, people are like, we need more people stepped on by dinosaurs. And he kind of put that in the movie. And you're like, well, this is a shitty movie. It's not a good story. It makes no sense.
Like
the characters are terrible. But it's nothing like the first one. The first one was great. And then the third one, I like the third one for what it is, but it's still just a crappy monster movie is what it turns into.
Right.
So go back to what works. Go back to the original. And that's, you know, not listen to what people say they liked. Get what people liked in the movie. I don't know. That's just sounded kind of dumb when I said it that way.
Something like that. I don't know. That's a really, really great question, Chris. Sorry we don't have a good answer.
And you know, and I love the fact that he's like, oh, Kevin and who and her, him or her. He has no idea who the host was. You caught him on a time.
You just actually got. Did not know what was going to happen.
You got the wisdom.
You didn't know you were
going to
get the real deal.
We got another.
Anyway, I can't wait for this question.
This one's coming from Merrill.
Oh, man.
Here it is. And it's, you know how I say, like, Chris from Lansing? This is Merrill from Michael Bay's Underpants.
That's kid friendly.
What do you. This segment is not kid friendly. And
Merrill from the tip of Michael Bay's dick.
Wow. Just dripping
off.
That's
the less kid friendly version.
He is the herpes sore. On the tip of Michael Bay's penis. Wow, did I just go there?
I would think that Michael Bay is rich enough to afford the cure for herpes.
He probably is. There's no cure, though. The cure is paying a lot of money to all the chicks that he bangs.
Fair enough.
Greetings, Kevin and Neil. It's Meryl Barr from the Idiot Boxers, otherwise known as Bayaholic Meryl Barr. Quick question, with Transformers 3 now out, what do you want to see Michael Bay direct next? Personally, I want to see that small movie Pain and Gain get off the ground already. Later.
So, what do you want to see Michael Bay do next? Because he's done just three Transformers
movies. Besides the Rosie Huntington-Whiteley sex tape that he's clearly filmed the opening shot for.
I don't think Michael Bay would ever do a sex tape because
It's not sexy enough.
It's not lit. I mean, it wouldn't be this
the Michael Bay version of a sex tape would be incredible. It would be well lit. It would be better than porn.
I have to say, if Michael Bay shot a porno, I would watch the fuck out of that thing.
Right. So, and you know, it would just, yeah, it would be just lines, like curvy lines and slow-mo and interesting.
Would be out of place. Let's just put it that way.
But seriously,
yes,
about what I would like to see Michael Bay do next, you know, he's done so much. I'd like to just see him do Bad Boys 3 because I love those characters and I love that world and they're a lot of fun. And I think it would piss everyone off. And
is that ever going to happen, though? I mean,
I feel like that they really have been talking about it. And I think it would be nice to see him go back to a more contained action movie, which sounds ridiculous because if you think about Bad Boys 2, there's not very much that's contained about it.
Well, there's no aliens in it.
But yeah, so I think it's smaller scale, something a little bit smaller. You know, he's talked about wanting to do a smaller sci-fi movie. Then he produced I Am Number 4, and that was kind of it, which... That's another one where it's like takes 2/3 of the movie to get to this awesome action sequence, and all of a sudden the movie's good. Yeah. Something smaller, maybe another Bad Boys movie, maybe something completely original. Mm-hmm. Maybe he takes some time off.
Do you want to see him do that small intimate? What is that? What?
The sci-fi movie?
No. The one that Meryl mentions. The doping, the steroids thing.
Maybe. I don't know. Here's what I don't want to see him do. I don't want to see him do another Transformers movie. I feel like they're going to... When this movie makes $1 billion at the box office, they're going to want another one.
Well, there'll be a Transformers 2, and it'll be directed by Brett Ratner. Oh, Transformers 4, yeah.
And I think I feel like he's done. I feel like he... You know, the Chicago scene in Transformers 3 is the exclamation point on this series... And he wrote a really nice letter on his website that said, you know, thank you for letting me be in this Transformers world for so long. I think creatively, whatever creativity Michael Bay had, it all went into this. Yeah. You know, whatever creativity and energy he had for Transformers went into these movies. And so it would be really a shame for me to see him do that when, in reality, like I said earlier, he is one of the filmmakers in Hollywood who's making big original movies. You know, he's not remaking everything. I mean, he's producing a remake of every horror movie ever,
Bay the producer, Bay the director.
The director is making fairly, you know, he's trying to make really interesting original stuff. And
for the past 5 or 6 years, he's been just nothing but Transformers.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see him go back to do something else. So obviously we'll be watching closely. But as long as it's not another Transformers movie, I'll watch whatever he wants to do. Yeah. I just kind of hope for Bad Boys 3 because I, you know, personally, just that's like one of my favorite franchises.
For me, I'd be interested in see him do. Meryl and I have talked about that movie, the more intimate, just the character piece. I'd be interested to see what he'd do with it, where he has no go to position, where he can't just do the quit montage. He tells so much dialogue in montages. Mm-hmm. And he develops his characters through montage, and that's just it wasn't that much he's developed into that, and I think Transformers lends itself to that. So I'd be curious to see what he could do. I don't know if he can handle it. But if I were to say, if I could just snap my fingers and say magically, I can call the shots, and then the people will do what I tell them to. I would love for him to do something like what happened with Empire Strikes Back, where you have multiple filmmakers generously working on a project together and have a focus on different things. And I'd love to see Michael Bay co-direct a movie with someone where somebody else took care of the character and the dialogue.
That'd be interesting.
And to just say, Michael, if shit's blown up, that's awesome, you do it. But for the scenes where people are talking to each other and we want to develop a story, let's at least have somebody else here who can. And that's a fantasy. That would never happen because you can't have two directors on set unless they're like really close-knit, like the Farrellys or the Wachowskis or something like that. But I'd love to see him work on something where somebody else spearheaded at least character and story, because I think he's such a great director in a very narrow sense, and he could make a fantastic, beautiful movie if he had somebody else there at least being able to say, we don't need this scene, we don't need this scene, this is fluff, let's take this out, let's focus on the character, and somehow find a way to get a ubiquitous look. But again, that's right. Fantasy, that's never going to happen. Right,
and I think, more importantly, it's just, you know, I'd like to see Michael Bay make a movie that Michael Bay wants to make, even if it's another Michael Bay movie, you know? Because I don't think he cares, and I don't think he should.
No.
I think he just continues to make movies that he thinks are cool. And some of us think they're cool. Others think they're stupid. Doesn't matter.
But I agree with you. I don't think he should be doing another Transformers movie.
Definitely.
He's done it. It's been done. And you don't want to spend a decade doing this. Because this is what ends up happening when you have an artist, and I'm using that term just as a descriptor. Don't start yelling at me because I called Michael Bay an artist, or I didn't, or what. I'm using that as a term. You see a lot of people that will... they'll do something, and then they something clicks, and then that's all they do for the rest of their life. And then 20 years later, you don't want to see Michael Bay 20, 25 years from now, if the Transformers series loses steam, him doing Transformers movies direct to DVD, because you know? You can see that happening. You don't want to see him doing the Clone Wars TV show version of Transformers, because that's all he's got his energy for. No, I mean, he needs to do other things.
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't think that would happen in that world, but then again.
Yeah. So. Cool. All right, time to do the Fat Guy Five.
Fat Guy Five.
Yeah.
We've already done like the best robots. We did that way back then, the first Transformers. And there's only, we can't do the best Michael Bay movies because he's like made only slightly more than five movies, anyways.
Yeah.
This is based on Larry Crown, which sounds like a booze because I think of Larry Crown Royal. Haha. So these are the five movie stars or characters that sound like booze. And the first one, I'll take the first one.
Mm-hmm.
That would be Bud Weiser Court. If you remember Bud Court from, you know, Brewster McCloud, and
right.
Harold and Maude.
The next one would be Captain Morgan Freeman.
Yes. Captain Morgan Freeman. Who Get can't it. Use the F bomb for anything because he's terrible.
Shoot this motherfucker.
The next one would be George Bailey's Irish Cream.
Oh, God. This is the punniest, stupidest thing ever.
Was it awful?
Yep. But we got to finish it.
Yes. We're committed at this point. Mm-hmm. We're like Sam Witwicky in the Transformers series.
Right. So the next one is Alec Obi-Wan Guinness.
Yes.
Because Guinness is a beer.
It is a beer. And then finally, rounding it off, we've got Captain Jack Sparrow, which obviously was named after booze, even though he looks like Captain Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. Honorable mention,
mm-hmm.
Neil Miller Light.
Oh, that's funny. Because I'm on the show this week.
I know. Isn't that awesome?
Oh, boy. And with that, it's time to go to another break, right?
We'll go to a break.
This is where we do another break? Great.
Yes.
All right. We'll be back. And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies.
That
we
is
have,
right.
I think we should apologize for the 30-minute long segment we just had. But yeah.
Oh, that's nothing. We've
what are you gonna do about it?
We've done way longer than that.
Yeah.
Since you've been gone in jail for tweeting.
I was blacked out. I told you.
For tweeting at the Alamo Draft House.
Yeah. So we've talked about Transformers 3 pretty much at length. Mm. We talked about Larry Crown briefly.
Very short.
We predicted box office. We answered questions. We did a really awkward, silly Fat Guy Five. And so now it is time to move on to the final segment, which is always a favorite of mine, and the world famous DVD Roundup.
It's so nice to have you back for that.
You should just do pre-recorded me introing the DVD Roundup.
I totally
and
should.
Just use that every week.
Well, you know, it's funny because all the guest hosts, some of them will be like the world famous DVD roundup, and then some of them really get into it. The world famous, you know. So.
Yeah, but none of them do it quite like I do.
No, they don't.
Anyway, so I guess we'll start with me because this is my show, and
okay,
I have a few picks this week. Yeah. One of which is Barney's Version, which is a totally worth renting, kind of indie comedy thing with Paul Giamatti, and I pretty much enjoy even Paul Giamatti's bad movies. I enjoy them,
even Lady in the Water.
Well, except for that one. Movies when Paul Giamatti is funny, whether it's overtly funny or subtly funny, it's good. It's worth seeing. So, you know, go see that. Also, Sony reissued two really cool movies on Blu-ray this week. Zathura, which is still one of Jon Favreau's better movies, I would argue. And Jumanji, which is still one of those movies that I saw as a kid and I was like, this is so cool. Like, it just comes to life.
And it's still one of Joe Johnson's better movies.
Right? Still one of Joe Johnson's better movies. So, you know, and it's interesting. It's the 20th anniversary of The Rocketeer this year. Uh-huh. You have Jumanji on Blu-ray. You got Captain America coming out. It's like the Joe and the Jurassic Park thing got announced that it's coming out on Blu-ray. It is the Joe Johnson revival. Wow. So he is just hoping at this point that no one remembers The Wolfman. Which is like last year.
We remember The Wolfman.
Everyone remembers The Wolfman. But beyond that, you can go and see a bunch of good movies. Like even Jurassic Park 3 wasn't that bad. It's kind of good.
I like Jurassic Park
3. So both of those are out on DVD. I'm sorry, Blu-ray. And then, of course, Lord of the Rings Extended Editions. For one reason and one reason alone. It's because I was right.
Oh, my God.
When the Lord of the Rings trilogy came out on Blu-ray the first time, I said, don't buy it. And everyone bought it anyway. And I said, don't buy it, because next year they're going to come out with the extended editions. It's going to have the same special features, but it's going to have the extended editions of the movies. Yeah. And go figure, now here it is. And there, you know, it's not a perfect set. I think, you know, I've seen a lot of reviews, and people have said, oh, well, the special features are all on DVD. Well, the special features were shot on DVD.
Yeah, if they didn't master them in high def, there's no point.
There's no point. You know, you're just taking up more space. So, but the special features are still as interesting as they were back in the day. The movies look really great. Really, really great. So, I say go out and buy the extended edition, because I think even though there probably will be 9 more releases of Lord of the Rings on Blu-ray, this is probably one of the better ones you're going to see.
Cool. My picks of the week, we've got Sucker Punch, which is Zack Snyder's movie. The extended edition, which isn't much, it just has a musical number and a very awkwardly weird explanatory scene at the end with John Hamm. But it's almost worth picking up alone for the cover box. Just look at the cover box and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Season of the Witch with Nicolas Cage in a mullet doing a knight in the Dark Ages trying to kill a witch. Warehouse 13, Season 2. This is a Sci-Fi Channel show. Not a bad little show, if you like sci-fi. And then Warrior's Way, which is Kate Lois Lane, whatever her name was.
Kate Bosworth.
Kate Bosworth and Jeffrey Rush in sort of like a
martial arts. It kind of looks like a Kill Bill Western movie made with a far less money.
It's a little weird. But yeah, and then The Stinker.
Mm-hmm.
Beastly.
Which I guess is a Beauty and the Beast thing. It's like modern. It's like the twilight of Beauty and the Beast.
Somebody wrote a young adult book for like sort of like, you know, 15-year-old target market, and it was an adaptation of Beauty and the Beast, and that's what it was. And then they made it into a movie with Alex Pettifer from the aforementioned I Am Number 4 and Vanessa Hudgens from the aforementioned Sucker Punch.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that's good about this movie is Neil Patrick Harris is awesome in it.
Neil Patrick Harris is in it?
Don't even ask me to explain why he's in it, but he is in it, and he's great.
Well, they're sending me a copy, so we'll see.
It's by CBS Films, isn't it? I think it's CBS Films.
I guess. I found somebody who's going to send me a copy.
Yeah.
And I'm going to watch it. Well, you know,
CBS Films has not had a good run. They did stuff like that Extraordinary Measures with Brendan Fraser.
Right.
They did The Backup Plan with Jennifer Lopez.
They did the Rock movie that I liked.
Faster was okay, and The Mechanic was really good.
Right. So, you know, they're hit or miss. But Beasley looks stupid. It's so awful. There you go.
Anyways, review wrap up. Larry Crown, we didn't see. We kind of have a confused look because we haven't seen it yet. And we're doing doing the show early. Transformers 3. I said it kind of rocked.
I agree. Kind of rocks. It's got its problems, but it's impressive. So
next week, we're actually taking a bye. We're taking a week off for the show to regroup and suffer the losses of Chicago.
And also to drink heavily on July 4th weekend.
That's right.
Isn't that the plan?
No. It's just because we don't want to go see the Zookeeper. But also horrible bosses comes up. Anyways, Neil Miller back on the show, and we'll get you again at Christmas, I'm sure. you can go to fatguysinthemovies.com to check us out. Otherwise, we will talk to you guys in 2 weeks.
Goodbye. I love you.